Greetings, this is Reverend Juliet Nightingale, and welcome to this transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is a program centered on near-death, out-of-body, and similar spiritually transformative experiences and related topics, including what people should know about the dying process, the many facets of after-death communications, living interdimensionally and being multisensory, intuition and telepathy, and the nature of consciousness. We feature a stellar roster of special guests for both experiences and researchers in the realm of NDEs and related topics. We invite you to look into our organization, Toward the Light, and the myriad of services and support that we do offer, not the least of which is this radio program, Toward the Light. Please visit our website, towardthelight.org and towardthelight.info. This week I'm very pleased to have a fellow near-death experiencer on the show, the author of the book We Are All One. Now, if that isn't an understatement, I don't know what is. It is really, really true, and we are going to share a lot of information about how this is so and other pertinent information. Let us welcome to Toward the Light, Mr. J.M. Harrison. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Hello, Juliet. Great to talk to you. I'm very well. And trust you're keeping your spirits up, because I know you're suffering a little bit at the moment.
Yes, I've got a bit of a health crisis going on, and as it turns out, so do a number of people right now. In fact, oh, goodness me, what's interesting is that I only got word last night from a wonderful friend, actually the producer of the film Life After Life, based on Raymond Moody's best-selling book, Life After Life. And his wife, Stowe, who's also been on the show, just recently contacted colon cancer. What's interesting is that one of my near-death experiences resulted from the very same colon cancer. So it's happening. A lot of people are being challenged right now in a myriad of ways, and I want to put out a lot of loving thoughts and prayers to Stowe Shockey, the wife of Peter Shockey, and I know that we can certainly turn it around for her. If it was turned around for me 30 years ago, you know, it can certainly be turned around for her as well. So we want to send you lots of love, Stowe. It's really quite something that is going on right now. But, I'm in a lot of excruciating pain, and it's really the love that's carrying me right now as well. But let's get on to talking with you about what's happened to you, because, of course, as we have these near-death experiences, we learn so much, don't we? And tell us first, Jonathan, about your near-death experience, and I know that you also had some spiritually transformative experiences sort of around about the same time. Is that correct?
It is, Julia. I had several transformative experiences, but last year I had, it all started, if I take you right back to that, we were out driving, myself and my wife in the car, and I just got a message through, as it were. I just clearly just said out loud to her, I'm about to experience my mystical death. And I had no idea what I was talking about. So a matter of probably 2 weeks later, we were just relaxing at the end of a hard day one evening. I think it was a Saturday evening. And I just started, we were both very, very tired, physically, mentally, you know, very tired. And I just started to feel very strange. And as I got up, I fell to the floor. And I managed to pick myself up again and managed to carry on a little bit more. And then I really slumped to the floor, the full weight of my body. I'm quite a big guy, and it's be very difficult for my wife to support me, for sure, physically. Mm. And I fell to the floor, and what happened was, in my memory, I mean, this all went on for about half an hour over a period of time, but I just recollect that my wife was trying to comfort me, and I understood a process of thought, you know, like in your normal brain working, And then suddenly I started to feel that I was leaving my body, but not in a way where I had any choice. It was just in an expressive way, the way the soul, if you like, moved out of the body. And I was then just sat above my body, or floating above my body, watching my wife comfort my body, which was a really strange experience. And basically this went on for a short period of time, for several minutes, and I was able to understand that I'd separated from my body, but I'd also was on the threshold of moving beyond that into another stage. And to give you the shortened version of the story, basically, at one point I looked down at my wife and I was able to understand her thoughts and feelings, and her thoughts and feelings were the worry and angst that she had about losing me. We have two children and the love between us, etc. So once I understood that, I was able to understand that without any words. There came a point where the empathy of my soul, if you like, just zapped me back into my body, and I became full of life again in my body. It was a very, very bizarre experience, but something I needed to experience to understand part of what I share with others, to actually, as you know, Juliet, to experience those things is a very important part of how you share it, of being able to share it fully,
exactly.
That full experience of mind, body, spirit. And so really that's, I know it's nothing like yours and many others, but that was just a step in the direction of revealing, you know, the writing of the book to me. So it was, for sure, they're all personal events and they're very powerful, you know, as an individual experience. But
and it certainly doesn't matter how grand or how simple or how short or how long they are. Each one is equally as significant as the next one. And you're so right, just, you know, by having this experience, it divulges so much information and it changes you forever as a result of that. And
absolutely.
What's interesting is
I was just going to say the next few hours after that, I became very, very elevated in a state of consciousness, and I'm sure a lot of things were passed or understood at a very high level at that point, because, as you know, a few days after that, I was just writing this book for 6 days, and that's the way the book came about.
Wow.
So it wasn't a conscious choice as such.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, you made a powerful point there, how you were instantly able to completely understand and know the depths of what your wife was experiencing as she was, you know, tending to you there. And I was going to ask you, did you experience pain, or did you just suddenly become very weak and collapse?
It was very, very quick. I just remember I didn't feel right. I felt strange, and I collapsed the first time and then collapsed the second time. And I just really was unable to move, and I felt myself losing consciousness for sure.
Wow.
But as that goes through stages, I felt the movement or a higher vibration of consciousness kick in. And when I stopped panicking, you know, when the actual left-hand part of the brain stopped, as it were,
Yes. The
other part kicked in, and I felt very peaceful, and I actually quite enjoyed it. I enjoyed being in a certain place, and as many people, there's part of you that doesn't want to come back, and you have to have a reason to come back. You have to have something to share, something to tell, or a reason to come back for other people. And I think that's part of the experience of many NDEs is that sharing the experience, sharing the love, and helping others from that experience.
And how did your wife take all of this when you finally were fully back into the physical plane, as it were?
Well, she sat with me for several hours after that and was very concerned and wanted me to get an ambulance and et cetera, et cetera. And I knew for sure that I wasn't going to die. It was a very, very odd thing. From being on the brink of death, moving to another side of consciousness, and then coming back, and I absolutely knew that I wasn't going to die, and I absolutely knew, I seemed to know so much. I was lifted from my normal consciousness into that, if you like, that state of knowing.
Yes.
It's not about your identity or your mind. It's about a universal consciousness, a universal mind that instinctively knows what the truth is.
And that.
So she was. It was obviously very difficult for her, but she didn't want to go to bed because she was concerned it was going to happen again, and it really did obviously freak her out and scare her. So it was. But we learned so much from the experience, and we've been able to share that with so many others and help others along the way. So it's been a beautiful blessing.
I was going to ask if your peace and your knowing impacted her somehow, if she was actually able to get, he knows what he's talking about, I needn't worry anymore. You know, did that seem to reach her in that way where she was able
Yeah, there
to
was enough
that?
Peace. I mean, I think there's a kind of mental state where you're impressing your mental knowledge, and there's also that spiritual state, isn't there? And when they combine,
yes.
or when you transcend your ordinary mind, you know that if somebody's talking to you in that way, you can feel the truth of it.
Exactly.
You don't need to question it as such. You can actually feel the truth of the words. You know, the energy in the room, the exchange between the two of you. I mean, we've had that several times over the years, and so she's learned to recognize, you know, the different states of consciousness. So I think she could clearly recognize that and allowed me to experience it in my own way, which was writing the book for the next few days.
So when did you start writing the book? It was just a few days after that?
Yeah, I had... the next day we were kind of, I think, a little bit shell-shocked and thinking, what should we do? You know, how do we deal with this? And Wendy was still wanting me to go to the doctor or go to the hospital. And I said, no, I'm fine. This was just, I had to have this experience. It was a, you know, I needed to have this experience. And the following day after that, so it was a couple of days after that, I just started to write. And then I just wrote for literally 6 days on the trot. I didn't do anything else apart from write. And I rose up again, if you like, into the same vibration, into the same frequency
sure.
that I touched upon when I left my body. So I think it was just like a heartfelt or a soul-felt sharing of information. And I think that's the best way I can explain it.
How did you feel, you know, when you started writing the book as far as your health goes and all that? Were you feeling, well, obviously, you know, something enabled you to have the stamina to be able to sit up and write. And I know that when the light wants to convey something, when a message needs to come out, in fact, I've made this point to a number of people. It seems that we've got almost superhuman capacities and endurance, as it were, that we're just able to do so much in spite of the limitations of the physical body and the physical mind and
mm-hmm.
all of that. So I'm assuming that that was the same with you, or were you feeling sort of more normal? Health-wise, when you started
riding, I felt fantastic. Actually, I felt really hyper fit. I felt, you know, completely connected. I felt the truth of my being, and I really just had a need to share that to explain about the oneness and the interconnectedness of all things. And I know these are common, repetitive things that many people talk about, but from the point of that experience, that's what it was. I was able to convey that oneness, the fact that we are all one, from a direct experience. So that was really the, you know, the basis of the book, was explaining the oneness at that state of consciousness. Everything is one. And I felt that, and it sort of reverberated on all levels of my being. And I felt there was a very important time that's going on at the moment, and it was important for me to share that message with many, many other people who are having the same experiences. We're all little pieces in a jigsaw puzzle, and that's an important part of it as well, the humility to remember that you're just a part of a puzzle. You're not the puzzle, you're just a part, and that's a beautiful thing in itself.
And the important thing to remember too is indeed we are part of that puzzle, that we are the light. And I know that so many people have turned this stuff into a cliche, which is a bit awkward and uncomfortable, but just as you so rightly pointed out, it really is a matter of fact that we are indeed all one. And you know, myself, I've had this experience so many times, and I know what it feels like. I know what it is to be enveloped in that unconditional love and to feel that total oneness. You know, even, you know, not just during my near-death states, but also when I've had what is commonly referred to as spiritually transformative experiences, or STEs, I have the same experience. And so it's not a mere cliche. It really is true, and there is, and it does have to do with, as you say, being in the special state that is a very high frequency. There's no mistake in it. It's really absolutely real. And I love, you know, when I was reading your book, I kept noting, yes, yes, yes. And it would bring it all back to me too, because when we can put ourselves back in this state, it is a tremendously powerful thing. And you were talking about the fact, you know, that being in the state of oneness, there's a profound peace that comes with this, and there's no longer a sense of us and them, or me or I and him or her. It is. We really are just a part of all that same puzzle, as you call it, or the, another person called us, how did she call it, source beams. In other words, that we are all beams of the same light source.
Absolutely, children of the light, that's what we all are.
Exactly, and we can never be separate from that. So would you like to share us a bit of the... you know, maybe as you were writing this and some of the things that came to you that you would like to share with our listeners, because I think this is very important, especially from a vantage point of experience rather than just hypothesizing.
Right. Well, I mean, just as a whole, from the... I was able to perceive things, as I said, in a different way, Juliet, and I could perceive... In a basic way of understanding that we're a body, a mind, and a spirit, but yet I was able to perceive that in a way that I couldn't have done before, and so I could also perceive the difference of body and ego and the different layers of our being, and how that really we're all involved in an evolution, a movement towards finding our true being. Moving towards the heart of what we are. And so this is part of the story that was conveyed, you know, through the writing of the book. And I don't think it's anything particularly new, but it's just another way of sharing the same light. I mean, if it was totally new, it would be kind of a different light, and it's all part of the same thing. So, but yeah, just to understand that if you obviously live in the body and the mind alone, and you're not in connection with the spiritual essence, then it came to me in the book that you are what we would call in the fractionate state. That means you're divided from your full being. You're divided and obstructing your own full potential. So you're not living a holistic life. You're not using a holistic mind. You're not fulfilling and allowing yourself access to the full potentials of your nature, because your nature is all those things. You are a body, you are a mind, and yet you have an innate spirit within you, and that you live within. You're inseparable from that. And so this for me, that was part of the transformative clarity of what came through in the book. I mean, I can still read the book now, and it kind of, I don't actually remember writing, you know, most of it as such. I remember the actual writing, but I can't remember the actual words. Do you know what I mean? So
yes, yes.
It was just the actual process of just flying on this consciousness and writing until I knew it was time to stop. So I still enjoy reading, you know, reading things from the book and learning myself. And I'm not, you know, afraid to say that myself. It's not something that's superior. It's just about sharing, and it's also sharing with me. So I think that's important to remember. Like I said to you, that, you know, the humility of that, the recognition that why you're allowed to have these things and have access to these things is that your intention is to share it equally with all people. So, I don't know what to say more than that, really. I mean, the book was just that, say, very transformative experience for me. And I was able to, you know, going on from the book, to learn to understand how to recreate that connection.
Yes.
Because I believe, Juliet, once we touch a frequency, once we touch a higher consciousness, that, like you said before, you know, reading certain things or talking or meeting with certain people will allow you to touch that again.
Mm.
And that's the beautiful thing about consciousness, is that we can share that truth of experience by sharing the same frequency and remember those experiences. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Moving from just sharing that experience, you recollect the frequency. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, yes. And in fact, I think a big part of that is also why I'm so ecstatic to have been drawn into this work, because it does help to remind me and to take me back to that place, just as you're talking about, to move back into that frequency. And it's beautiful. Sometimes I'll just start experiencing sheer euphoria. It is
yeah.
So wonderful. And you know, even all of these years later, I think my most recent NDE was in 1989. You know, constantly, still all these years, integrating it and getting even more bits and pieces of it and making more sense, and realizing, that's what that is. You know, that's what that means.
Yeah, and recognizing why we had those experiences as well.
Yes, yes, and it feels to me like you were, you know, and probably your soul, before you incarnated, actually agreed to go to this experience, and sort of like you were picked to go through an experience, sort of like a portal opening up, and mm-hmm. then you had this profound experience where you tapped into source and the truth of who you are, with the means to share it, to be a messenger, and a very powerful messenger at that, helping yourself as well as helping the masses as well, because I feel at this point that there can't be enough information about this. There's still so many people locked in fear, and they're still in denial. It's amazing, even with people sharing their testimonies of experiences, not just, you know, I read this and I thought it was pretty cool. The mm-hmm. actual experiences, and people are still nodding and going into denial. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he said, I believe when you die, you die. And I said, well, I'm sitting here right next to you. I'm proof that that is not the case. Hello? You know, these people are so dense, bless them, but a lot of them really are. And so I think that more information, if enough people get that information out there, it'd be like the 100th monkey effect, as it were, then people are finally going to get it. Life really is eternal. We don't lose consciousness when our bodies die. So...
Definitely.
This is very special, you know, what you've done here. Now, I wanted to ask you, have you had other spiritually transformative experiences? Did this happen before your NDE, that you had the STEs? or were they sort of intimate?
It's been an ongoing thing for several years, and that's been part of our work and why we set up our centre in France, which is to do with healing and awareness. But the funny thing was, I think that the real big one for me was in 2002, and I think at that point I'd had glimpses, Juliet, of higher consciousness and of psychic and type experiences, and I'd kind of ignored it. I knew it in my heart to be true, but my family upbringing and education, everything else, steered me away from it. So yeah. Eventually, of course, these things have a habit of coming back and catching up with you. And in 2002, it was another bizarre one, that we actually sat down for dinner with some friends, and I think there were four of us. Yes, my wife and myself and two friends, and we were having dinner. And about halfway through dinner, I just went into trance. Now, I knew nothing about trance. I knew nothing about prolonged meditation. I'd tried meditation a few years before, but I just dropped into trance. And I went very, very deep, and I was able to deliver, I suppose, what we'd call mediumistic evidence and et cetera, et cetera. And then I eventually started to channel things. And this was just that evening at dinner. So fortunately, our friends were quite happy to sit there and be entertained for the evening. And really, that was the big wake-up call that I had, because I was able to see at one point the arrival of consciousness on planet Earth. And I was able to see the past, the present, and the future, and it gave me a signpost to how we can approach solving the issues that we have on present-day Earth. And like you say, we have all these people having these central experiences. It's almost though as if we're going round and round in circles. We're just having more people join the same experiences, and we need to formulate that into, you know, an evolved thought so that it can move, so that it can move forward. So that was, say, that was an interesting evening. And from that, we had, I had two or three other things happen over the years in between, you know, in those sort of 4 or 5 years, which were, again, transformative experiences. I had, I was lucky enough to, because we live near the Pyrenees in France, so I'm quite far down south in between, or the southern part of France down towards Spain. And I was lucky enough to get a small cottage for about a week in the Pyrenees, actually up in the mountains. Absolutely beautiful place. And I just went to do some writing and to be alone and to work with myself, if you like, and to have a retreat, you know. And I think it's very, very hard, if people have not done it before, to be on your own, but it's absolutely best thing for you if you can handle it, because you have to face all those realities and truths about yourself if you want to. And that was my purpose in going there. And I had first 3 days, I had an absolutely torrid time, and it was very, very hard, and I was just trying to progress from everything I'd experienced and learned. And about the fourth or fifth day, I was sitting there on this small patio. There's absolutely nobody there. You could just see the mountains. You're right by the mountains. You had eagles flying by your head. It was an absolutely beautiful setting. And a man appeared in front of me. I was in a sort of trance-like meditation, if you like, and a man appeared with my... I had my eyes closed. A man appeared in front of me in a sort of loving gesture with his arms down towards me. And so I thought, well, that's a bit strange. And I opened my eyes, and I couldn't see him. So I shut my eyes again, and then I could see him. I could see him directly in front of me, about 10 meters away, slightly floating off the ground, with the sunshine behind him, and the mountains. Absolutely fantastic feeling, and I recognised something was obviously going on, and I questioned myself as to what I should do. And the only answer was for me to stand up and reciprocate his movement of the arms, which was, say, these half-folded arms outstretched towards me. And so I reciprocated that, and then I seemed to go into a deeper state, and I remember saying some things to him, but I don't know what the things are, other than an intention to share and help in the best way I could in this life. So that was another one, and I didn't need to question who he was or whatever. It didn't actually matter. It was so powerful that names, you know, identities really don't matter, because it's the truth of the moment that counts. Not about, you know, that's the whole spiritual thing. The whole transformative reason is to understand that you're not the body that you identify with, and you're not the ego that tells you that it's you. You're something a little bit more.
Exactly. This is brilliant. This is so lovely, because I think a lot of people, and this is something that many of us are still dealing with, too many people deal with, is once they have an experience like this, whether it be an STE or NDE or what have you, you know, the ego will try to label and interpret things, and that's where the problem comes in. And I think it's lovely, you know, like a lot of people will say, there had to be Jesus, or there had to be so-and-so, what have you. Well, not necessarily, and I think it's lovely that you didn't put a label or a name on it, or even really strive for one. You were just intent on being with the essence of it and gleaning the truth of it and the love of it. And I know that when you're having these kinds of experiences, you feel that profound love and that, again, that sense of oneness and that peace, that it's beyond words, it's beyond thoughts even. It is,
and that's why we don't need to identify, do we? We don't need to identify with the body. It's such a full feeling, isn't it, Julia?
Yes.
The fullness. It's full of love and many other things, I think, as well as wisdom, intelligence, pure intelligence. It's so pure in that.
Yes.
It's crystal clear, you know.
Oh, this is absolutely brilliant. I love this because, of course, all of my life I've had experiences like this, and I understand, too. It's got to be interesting when you're, and this is a story most people's lives, I think, when they're raised to, you know, they're conditioned out of believing in these interdimensional experiences and their intuition and the mind-to-mind telepathy, and yet all of that is so true and so important and so vital to our everyday lives, and it's really a pity that we've been conditioned away from that, and even people being taught to be afraid of it and then demonized it. And this is something that we need to undo.
This is a sort of outdated system trying to hang on to its power base.
It's
all those old ways and old systems and old beliefs in some respects that are panicking at the thought of what's coming, because what's coming is a deeper form of consciousness, a consciousness that transcends old beliefs. It doesn't forget them. It remembers them, but it transcends them. So it's a new form. It's a new way that mankind can live and operate in a new form of peace and harmony, and in a way that we would all ideally like to live.
Well, I know that from a number of sources, and this actually came through to me too, during some of my experiences, is that the mode of communication on this planet was originally all telepathic. So consequently, there was no room for misunderstanding or taking things out of context or what have you, and there just wasn't the kind of fear that exists now. And as I'm thinking about you and your work, I thought, here's another precious soul who is an instrument in breaking open these shackles, of, you know, breaking them apart, as it were, that have held people in fear and servitude for so long. And people are needing to first of all, be able to turn inward more. And I think you even point this out in your book, too, to, you know, it's not about looking outside of ourselves, but actually turning inward, because the source is right there.
Mm.
And you have these experiences that actually sort of bring all this home to you. if that's making sense.
Yeah, definitely. And it's sharing that, though, isn't it, Julia? It's the sharing that allows it to grow.
Yes.
Because hanging on to the identity of it being mine or for me would obstruct the growth for other people. So I understand that whatever happens, I'm just pursuing the truth of it rather than the need for myself. Because
yes.
I was, you know, before I had that experience in 2002, I had, you know, had a comfortable little life and out in the middle of rural France, and I had no need to change anything at all. I could have carried on doing what I was doing for the rest of my life and never, you know, never had a huge amount of money, but never worried about money, and, you know, it would have been okay, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. I was supposed to, you know, carry on following it. And I know that that following is based on the benefits of that following, and for myself, I know that, but they're also for every other person in equal measure, because I understand that there's that unification and that oneness. So I don't have any need to seek things for myself.
Oh, I feel exactly the same way, and I feel so dedicated to this work for the sake of the sharing and hoping to bring about peace of mind to people, because that's vitally important, especially when we're dealing with a delicate balance right now. We're in such a tumultuous time. I feel this, the light really penetrating us in such a deep way, and it's so important for people to let go of the old paradigms and the old ways of thinking and living,
yeah.
And not to be afraid to let go and move on to a higher frequency, because that's really what it's about. It's not about being destroyed or ceasing to be, but really just changing frequency into one of
Absolutely.
Great power and love, you know. It's so wonderful. So what happened to you after that? What are some of the sequence of events? And I know that you've started this wonderful center, and I want to ask you about that too, but feel free to share some of the sequence of events that led to your starting a center, because I know that that's something that a lot of people, including myself, have been feeling a real strong need to do to help accommodate this growth and change.
Well, Julia, I was very lucky. I say I went into trance, and I became a trance medium. I became a channeler just out of the blue. So I then had to learn that my whole experience for my life with all these higher consciousness things has been having the experience and then finding out what the experience was.
Yes.
I've never really learned anything first and then experienced it. So I had to, as soon as that happened, after a few months, I sort of got myself together and reflected. I thought, I want to know more about this, because it felt so true and powerful. And, of course, then I started to learn. I went to college in England. I had several different tutors and various teachers over those years who enabled me to grow. And I was very, very lucky enough to share the knowledge and experience of some of those people, and they know who they are, and they don't need to have their names mentioned, but they're very, very humble, gifted people who are able to share things in equal measure. And so really, that whole, I then had to learn, you know, everything, all that had happened to me and why it happened and what was the benefit of it. And so I kind of pursued the benefits of it for, you know, what was the whole purpose of it? I think that's the whole, you know, what's the point of life kind of thing. That's really what I went through, because my life changed, you know, from having dinner one night. So I really did have to look at what was happening. How could I explain that to myself in a rational way? Because I didn't know anything about these things. And so I just went on from there, and a sequence of events finally led us to, in 2005, to give up our business and buy an old Armagnac farm, and to start dedicating our lives to sharing that information and helping other people with consciousness, with health, with illness, with awareness in whatever shape or form. And we're very lucky and blessed to've had people come here and share those experiences, and it's a beautiful, sacred experience, as you know yourself, you know, even from doing a healing with somebody, sharing that experience. But to share a week of kind of full-on workshops or spiritual retreats is a very, very sacred thing, and it's a very beautiful thing. I can't understand wanting to do anything else, because you're really playing, you know, the role of a soul. You're evolving your soul on Earth and working as a soul being, rather than working as an identity and an ego.
Yes.
And that's the beautiful part of it, I think.
That's really wonderful. And when you had these experiences, like, for example, when you were at dinner and went into trance, and did this happen back in England, or were you in France? Because I know you said you were studying back in England, and then you also live in France. So I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, no, I used to fly back to. I had to fly back to England to various places, and I was living in France at the time. We've been in France since 1995, so I've been here a long time.
Wow.
And that was all part of the search, you know, getting on the ferry, and we knew we had to come to France, and as, you know, you're just following something. It's difficult to explain, isn't it? But, you know,
oh, I totally understand.
You're following the truth, following the truth of your being, Juliet, as you are, and it's amazing what happens when you do that, when you drop the fear and you drop the identity,
yeah,
and you drop the ego, and just allow that flow to come into your life.
Now, I think that's a very important point that you're making too, because you know, a lot of times people will feel the pull to go somewhere, and maybe they've never been there before, they don't understand why, and yet when that happens, it's really important to listen to it and to honor it and to follow through with it, because there is a reason for that. Did you and your wife both have that experience of being pulled to France? How did that manifest? Because, again, I think this is an important point for people to hear about and to understand better, because I think this is not only been happening a lot, but I think it's going to be happening a lot more to people, and they need to learn how to recognize this and then move forward with it. So how did this, if you don't mind me asking, how did this happen with you and your dear wife?
I'd blame my mother, God bless her, she's no longer with us, but she had a little holiday house in France, and we were lucky enough to be able to go there and spend some time there, and a very basic but simplified and simple thing happened one day. The next door neighbour there, who was an old French man in a beret and you know what, and he left some vegetables on the wall by my mum's house, and it was Wendy and myself were there, and so I kind of said to him the email, "Oh, you've left your vegetables." He said, "No, they're for you." And I thought, well, isn't that wonderful? I know it sounds really basic, but this guy, who I didn't know, had offered to share something with me. He didn't want any money. You know, I lived in a society in England that, you know, if you were given something like that, there'd, you know, probably be some catch to it, you know, the way society works in that level.
Mm.
And this guy just, you know, he just put vegetables on the wall. And that just really touched me in a way that I can't really explain. I just thought, wow, isn't that beautiful? Just really simple. The guy's given us a cabbage and some carrots.
Oh.
And I don't, you know, I'm not questioning it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that how life should be? I'm not looking for the negative answer. There isn't a negative side to that. He wanted to give me those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very important lesson for me, you know, how all the world doesn't operate exactly the same, and that was part of the feeling of coming to France, was retracing those olden days, if you like, that were a bit more clear and a bit away from the buzz and chaos of the cities, and they were a little bit, it's a bit like going back in time. If you come out to rural France, I'm sure it is if you're from New York or from LA, you'll be going back 50 years, you know, in time. But there's many, many benefits with that, and part of the benefit is the peace and the stillness that you can have. But you've got to be able to accept that and study it and see what's in that stillness and that awareness and that quiet and in that space. And if you can do that, I think you get to know yourself so much more. So I would definitely encourage people, and I know there's so many people just changing their lives on those feelings and thinking about changing their lives on those feelings. And like you say, it's about discerning the truth. And that discernment only comes with enough practice, with enough experience of being able to discern the feeling of it. So is it, you know, is it your body, your mind, or is it a spiritual thing? Is it how high a frequency is that movement? You know, when you drive past the garage and you see a brand new car, that's not necessarily your spirit crying out for the car.
Yes.
It's something else. You know, it's that basic. I mean, obviously, it gets more complicated than that. But ask yourself, what part of you, what identity within yourself is seeking that? And why it's seeking it? What does it need? Is it something it wants? Because it wants to have this and it wants to have that. Or is it something it needs in the heart of its being? If it's something it needs in the heart of its being, it's your soul calling back to you.
And that's a very, very good point that you're making there, because a lot of people really do get caught up in the, you know, in the quest for stuff. And, you know, that is just not something that I resonate with personally. And yet when you have an experience with someone so kindly, just for the love of it, offers to share something and freely gives, you know, that's a beautiful and powerful expression of that divine love coming from that light. And obviously it did impact you, and for very good reason, you know. It is simple, but truth is simple.
The truth is simple, and we forget. I mean, these transformational experiences that I had, Juliet, reminded me of things that happened in my childhood, and I was able to remember things that had happened that had really gone to the back of my mind because they were of no use or they didn't fit into the program.
Yeah.
And now I can remember so many more things. I mean, I had an experience when I was about 7 or 8 years old, and my mum and dad used to do these New Year's Eve parties, and we had a few people around on New Year's Eve. And you know, in England, I don't know if it's the same in America, but you get to the point where you sing Auld Lang Syne, and everybody kind of, I remember dancing around these circles. We had 2 circles and we were dancing, and I was a very young kid, and I was holding this guy's hand, and I just remembered holding this guy's hand, and it was just a very pleasant experience. And the next day, my mum came into the bedroom and said, "Oh, Jonathan, I've got to tell you that Mr. I can't remember his surname. That's terrible. I remember it was Vic. That Vic, our neighbour, who was this old guy I was dancing with in the circle, had died. And I was really, really shocked, because the night before, obviously, I was there dancing with him, and I was very young, and it was a new experience to be so close to death, if you like. And I think it just bothered me all day. And then I recollect now, which I didn't for many, many years, that evening I went to my window and I looked up into the sky, and it was dark, and I could see the stars and everything. And I just wished that he was okay. I knew that he was dead, but I just wished that he was okay. And as I did that, I could see his head appear in the sky and 2 other glowing heads behind him. Though I couldn't make out who they were, I knew he was with somebody, and I knew that he was okay. And so little flickers like that that come back from having these transformative experiences, they just remind you of others that you've had filtered throughout your life. We just don't always remember them because they don't have a place in our frequency of thought at that time.
Well, that's a good point there, because I know that I go through that myself. It will trigger all the memories, and oh, blimey, that's what that was. And I remember something happened, and It's very powerful indeed. And you know, as you were describing that, and as he squeezed a hand, as it were, that previous night, of course, you know, being from the North Country, I remember people going in these frenzies during New Year's Eve. Oh, blimey. But I felt like he was, like maybe he was sort of acknowledging you and telepathically, you know, without words, without verbiage, conveying some kind of message to you, an acknowledgement to you. You know, that might be something interesting to meditate on. Because I'm a clairvoyant and medium too, and I just got a strong hit that maybe you're squeezing a hand like saying, you are going to be a bearer of some very important messages as you come along, you know?
And I've just remembered his surname, Page. So it was Vic Page. God bless you, Vic.
Yes, indeed. And I'm sure that, you know, the frequency he's operating on, that he's still doing the work, if you know what I'm saying. And
for sure.
Because you are so receptive now, and more so all the time, that it would be very easy for him to reach you and to share messages with you, you know, from the dimension that he's operating on. And
yeah, I've had many mediumistic experiences over the years, and I developed that point of... I was kind of ready to move on. I don't know. I kind of needed to move out of that frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I learnt the understanding of how mediumship works and its place. It definitely has a place, but that it wasn't for me, that I needed to go beyond that. And I went into channeling all sorts of things, as you do as a channel. And I just had this very powerful experience where just one day, I channeled and it all came back to me. I kind of realized that it was all a cycle, for me anyway. It was a cycle of learning all these different things, every single experience and all the higher consciousness, all the experiences we gain in our lives are about learning to become our real selves,
yeah.
Learning to become our true selves, because we really do have all those abilities. We don't need to be a this or a that. We don't need to be a medium, a psychic, or a channel, because we are. We all have those abilities. If you choose to recognize them, you can find them, and you'll reveal them to yourself. But if you choose to ignore them, then you'll ignore them. But, you know, we're all coming to a point with the state of the world where we know there's movement going on, there's conscious movement, and we know that we need to do a bit better. We need to express those higher realities of consciousness in the world today in a better way to help each and every one of us.
Well, I really thank you for saying all of that, because that's something that I've been sharing with people too, is that by nature we're all psychic and all of those things. It's as natural as breathing, really. And I encourage people, you just relax into it and allow it to flow through you. It's because we are... we're actually antennas, and I've got some friends who are into physics, and they're even talking about, you know, how our bodies are antennas, how do you call it, the vehicles or the tools that the soul uses, you know, in order to share all of this stuff. So I'm really pleased that you've been sharing this, because it's so true. And again, you know, there's another area where we're having to do this work to help remove the stigma around anything psychic or medium, mystical, what have you. It's just simply being aware and applying our awareness. And there's nothing woo-woo about
recognizing,
it.
Yeah, it's recognizing that it exists, and, you know, you don't have to do it. Not everybody has to do it. And there are very many aware people that have never been or considered themselves psychic or mediums or channels, who have gone way beyond that in other ways, you know. So it's each person has a different purpose and a different setting. And it's down to ourselves to investigate that further.
And what sort of work are you doing now? And tell us a little bit about your retreat and the your healing center and the name of it and how people can find it.
Okay, yeah, well, our center's called the Jubon Center, and you can visit it online at www.jubon, which is D-U-B-O-N.org. And here at the center, we run retreats, personal retreats, but healing retreats as well, but also workshops. The main premise of the work is really about conscious evolution, really about people furthering their spiritual journey. So if you've had flickerings of or glimpses of these type of experiences, then I believe that, you know, myself, Wendy and Sharon, who we all work together as a team, are people that can help you with those experiences and can help you understand them and develop them further if you need to. Not everybody needs to or wants to. But to understand your experiences and to understand the truth, more of the truth of what you are, I think has an important role in today's world, where we're having more and more people have these dramatic, transformational experiences. And there aren't many explanations, or there aren't explanations out there enough for my liking. I know how difficult it was for me to find information and to actually share that, you know, verbally with somebody. So we're basically working on a whole sphere of things and touching, you know, everything from, like I said, from healing. We work with people that are who are not well at all in some areas, and part of that is maybe understanding about illness and understanding about life and death, and how, as you know fully well, that life and death is really a state of mind.
Yes.
And all part of that understanding, which, I mean, it's all forms of healing, isn't it? I think, Juliet, that sharing information is healing in itself. So I'm happy to do any of that. And I say what I do is use my experiences of the past and move back to that resonance, that frequency that I was at, to enable myself to find the answers or to find the truth that's required to deal with each person and each situation. And we've had some fantastic times, and it's, like I say, it's a blessing to be able to help and work alongside people.
How long have you had this retreat, this center?
We sold our business in 2005, so we've been here, this will be our third year, so it's pretty early days, but we're starting to get more interest and more people coming through, coming over to see us or coming to the website, and the books helped to some extent as well, although, like I said to you, that wasn't the reason at all. The book was written, the book just came about, but that's created some interest because people want to know or can feel aligned to a similar experience, and they want to share that or talk about it in a kind of environment that's private and away from normal life. So we provide that here. We've got, you know, 26 acres of private land, and it really is a private setting. And it's an old Armagnac farm, so it's all the old colombage buildings. And hey, if you're interested in that, please have a look at the website and, you know, let us know what you think. Or if you've got a problem, send us an email and we'll do our best to answer that as and when we can. And we won't be charging for that. We'd like to help anybody who is in a position where they feel they need that help.
Well, I think that's really lovely. And the fact that you have written this book, and we should talk about the website for your book too, weareallone.net, and the words are separated by dashes, right?
So yeah, the middle dash, yeah, it's www.we-r-all-one.net, and that's the middle dash in between all those words. And
right,
on there you can find a bit of information about the book, and you can click on there and get it from Amazon.com. Or from Amazon.co.uk. So there's a bit of information on there about the book and some of the reviews that we've had, which have been swept away by the kindness and generosity of people, to be honest.
Well, I think that's it's a really wonderful connection to segueing into the retreat, because you've got a wonderful substance there in the book that you can carry into the work in the retreat too. Wendy and Sharon are the ones who are working with you, and I think that's really wonderful. And of course, you've got a page on Toward the Light, toward the light.org/jmharrison.html, and so with that page there are hot links to your retreat website, as well as to your book website.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed, because I think it is really important to share the word with people and get it out there. And I was going to ask you if you did have support group meetings, or if you had discussion groups about near-death and related experiences, or is that all just a part of the work with the book?
That's all just part of the work, Juliet, and we'll deal with all those issues. You know, I'm particularly, obviously from your personal experience, you develop a lot of interest. So I'm particularly interested in working with people that have experienced, the psychic mediumship channeling, and explain to them that this is not the end. You don't, just because you channel a certain energy or a certain person, that is not it for the rest of your life, unless you choose it to be. But if you do choose it to be, then you're depending upon the identity and therefore the ego. So if you let all that go, you can channel the most beautiful thing, which is yourself. Channeling yourself is a secret to finding out who you are.
Well, I think that's really lovely, because you point that out in your book too. You state very clearly, I'm not channeling so-and-so or what have you. This is just coming from me, my higher awareness. And that's such an important point, because people are still feeling awfully small. And we're not small, we're huge. But it's I'm not talking about the ego here either. I'm talking about the substance of our being, because again, when we go into the state of really experiencing the oneness, we are all one indeed. I know from my own experience, I felt very grand during that experience. I didn't feel tiny or just little me anymore.
And you have to be careful there, Juliet, as well, because when you come down from that experience, you can want that experience so much that it almost becomes addictive, and you almost see yourself as that experience and different to other people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like any experience, if you're not careful, you just always got to remember that the reasons why and how you had that experience link you to all other beings, all other life forms. And that's something, I think it's probably worse for men than women. Us men tend to be far more ego-filled than most women, for sure. But I think that's something you just need to remind yourself of, that identity, ego, these things have a way of creeping back into your work or into your life if you allow them to. So just remembering those experiences and how you felt. But just remember, that's how everybody feels at that point. And everybody can share that feeling. That's the whole point of you having it.
Thank you for sharing that too, because I've even told some people, a lot of people think, oh, well, somebody's had a near-death or a spiritually transformative experience, suddenly they're enlightened. I say, not necessarily, no indeed. In fact, having an NDE doesn't automatically make you a saint. It can still be a jerk,
Absolutely, yeah. And there's plenty of people, that would be seen to be like that, So, and these are reminders. These are ways of teaching yourself that having a near-death experience or a transformative experience is not the be-all and end-all. It's just a glimpse of what you need to know.
Yes.
So it's then up to you to stand up and say, right, well, I know I need to know more, so how do I go about needing more? And I understand for you it was I think you've had a particularly difficult ride, Juliet, with the way that you've had several experiences, but I think it's wonderful that they've impacted you in the way that they have, and that you've been able to share all that love and experience with others. I certainly enjoyed reading some of your material on the website, so I'd recommend people to go to there as well.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Yes, it's really true that, you know, whatever happens to me, I'm always asking, how can I use this to serve others? I just default to that. And when I've been in them too, I feel very humbled by them. It's not something that inflates the ego, because as you so rightly point out, it's got nothing to do with that. It's not about that at all. It's really about the true essence of our being, of everyone's being. And that's why also I feel such a passion to share this, you know, regardless of how rough I may feel or what have you. I just, you know, I've got to do this work. I've got to share this, because any individual who can receive just a little bit more peace of mind, I feel such gratitude for that, because I think it's paramount. It breaks my heart when I see all of these people, just like the bloke I talked to yesterday, who was still insisting, even talking to somebody who's come back from the dead, right, that when you die, that's it, end of the story. And I thought, how can you be saying this? You know, here I've flatlined and I've come back, and people have come back from the morgue even.
Well, I could share one thing with you that with the listeners will probably be interested in. That was I was in a mediumship circle in England, and it was 11 ladies and myself in those days, and we sat there, and one of the, basically the short end of the story was that a monk, a Tibetan monk, or a Buddhist monk, I should say, rather than Tibetan, a Buddhist monk appeared in full life-size manifestation, if you like. I suppose those are the old-fashioned words for it. And looked at us all with his eyes. It was a most incredible experience that I shall never forget for however many lives I've got left. But the actual monk appeared with his red robes, and I saw his face. If I ever see a picture of him, I shall recognize him.
Yeah.
And he just looked at us all. We were sat around him, and he just looked at us all in the eye. He looked at everybody in the eye. Now, this was a spirit. It wasn't a physical body. It was the soul or spirit, if you like, of somebody that had passed away, in my understanding. There was no trickery or anything involved for anybody who might want to think that. I know there wasn't. I've done many things like that, but that was one of the most powerful images that I have of seeing another frequency of life look me in the eye. Not just feel it, I looked it in the eye, and I shall remember that forever.
Where were you in England when this happened, just out of curiosity?
That was at a place called the Arthur Findlay College, which is a college, a centre for mediumship and healing in Stansted, in England.
Yes, okay.
And that was one of the courses that I attended there, and I have attended others and had private teachings with other people as well. But at that time, that was obviously a very transformative experience, because if you see that, then you have to question, you know, yourself very, very deeply, and you can't deny that experience, and you can't always explain it fully either, but I know, as you know, your experiences happened at the level that they did. You know that they were full and true, and that's all I can say about that one. But to actually look something in the eye that wasn't physically in the room, it is a very bizarre but also transformational experience.
Did the others talk to you about it too? Did they compare notes with you, some of the other members of the
group? Yes, everybody. I mean, I think I was the last one, you know.
Wow.
I was the last one to see. It was the very first course that I'd attended, and I knew everybody else had seen something, but nobody kind of said what they'd seen.
Mm.
And then eventually I just raised into, I just got the frequency. I just lucky enough to drift into it. I don't know why it was supposed to happen, but it did, and that was just another little nudge
Yes.
On the road to finding more about that truth, because obviously I had to question about life and death at that point, and obviously it's not something you decide about in 24 hours, and it's something you reflect upon for many years. So, and in those days as well, they don't do it anymore, but we did a thing called table tilting.
Yes.
And experience the movement of a table around the room, which I understand as, you know, energy rather than necessarily a spirit in the room, but there
exactly.
was certainly movement of a table, you know.
Well, I
all these things are just lessons that we need to experience.
Sure, and, you know, the interesting, I was thinking how interesting it was. I remember in the 60s, I, in the field, has ended up doing a bit of levitation and all of that kind of stuff. And again, it's really just about proving that, you know, we're dealing with energies and different frequencies here.
Yeah.
And I recently had somebody on my show. He's been on my show a few times, Dr. Claude Swanson. He's an American physicist, and he's the author of the book Synchronized Universe. And he's a physicist actually proving the validity of all of this stuff, from levitation to teleportation, telepathy, ESP, remote viewing, near-death and out-of-body experiences with double and triple blind laboratory tests that he features in his book. And then I've had physicians on the show. For example, Dr. Peter Finnick, who's in London, and Dr. Pim van Lommel, who's in the Netherlands. And the interesting thing about all of this is that so many of us have talked about, independently of one another, using the same analogy of the radio, and you're tuning to different frequency, and you switch the band to a higher frequency, and yet all the frequencies are still, that the radio broadcasts are still occurring, you're just tuned into a specific frequency. And so this is another really powerful lesson that, you know, this stuff isn't spooky. When you're seeing this entity who's just on a different vibrational frequency appearing to you, obviously you've moved your frequency to be able to see him. And I share with people all the time, these beings are all around us. It's just a matter of changing our frequency so that we can actually tune into them.
But the thing is, Juliet, what's the lesson about that? When you think about that deeply, the lesson is maybe, because you could get caught up with just looking to see beings on another level.
Mm.
But what the real lesson is, that, you know, that it is about frequency, it is all about energy. And the purpose is to experiment that and to know more and to raise your frequency.
Yes.
But not to stop at a level, not to feel that that's it. Just to keep an open mind on the limitlessness of your radio, you know, capacity and the abilities that you have. Don't ever let, you know, yourself stop yourself.
I think that's
keeping an open mind on the potentials of frequency, because, you know, for my experience, to experience that tuning into oneness, to tuning into universal consciousness, to touching source, proved to me that frequency was limitless. Therefore, I could tune in to anything at a given time in the right conditions. So I think a lot of people just move to a certain level and stop, move to a certain vibration, and then, you know, they kind of move out. I have a symbol of a leaf for it, whereas if you're traveling up the center of the leaf and you just move out, you say halfway up the leaf, you move into, say, seeing spirit or hearing spirit. So you pursue that. You go out on the leaf and you arrive at the edge, and that's really where you're going to stop. But if you keep in the center of the leaf and you pursue that to the tip, to the very tip of the leaf, you will revolve around yourself into universal consciousness.
That's a really beautiful illustration there, and I share that with you, really, because a lot of people will just become amused and, oh, isn't that interesting? And I say, yes, but that's not where it ends. And it really is about proving the point that, excuse me, indeed we are interdimensional beings, and we live in a multiverse, and when you see a discarnate being, whether it's a friend or relative or someone you don't even know, that's just again validating the fact that we do live on various dimensions and various frequencies, and everything is energy, but the source of all of that is love. And as we move more into these higher frequencies, which I think is actually starting to become easier and easier for people as we're waking up, and as more and more people are waking up, and it also helps to remove the how do you call it, the mystique around all of
yeah.
this, because it's so natural, and it's always been there. It's always been there. It's just that, you know, a lot of people haven't really been aware of it, you know, and now I'm just so excited that simultaneously many, many people are suddenly waking up and saying, oh, I had this experience, and then they get hungry for more knowledge, which is good. And I think that the fact that you've written this book, that you're holding these retreats and workshops and all of that, is very important. And I wouldn't be surprised if you started to become very busy, because I've noticed, especially in the past couple of years, last year, all of a sudden, all these people were just waking up and asking questions, and I thought, good, you're on the right track. Let's keep it up now, you know?
Yeah.
So I really commend you for this wonderful work that you and your beloved wife and friend are doing to help raise the consciousness and just really let people know how very natural it is.
That's the thing, is making it normal, isn't it, Juliet?
Yes, yes.
The problem we have is that it's super normal, it's supernatural, it's weird, it's bizarre. No, it's not. It's very, very real. And more people, you know, that have these transformational experiences or near-death experiences, they're all much of a muchness to me. I think they're all different experiences just pushing you in a direction of truth. So the more people that have these experiences and come clean about it and share it in an honest and upright fashion, the benefits for all humanity are immense and long term. You know, but if you don't know something, and that's the way quantum physics works and the brain works, if we don't know it's possible, we won't think that it is possible. You know, the program of the brain works in that way.
But that's a tough
the things
one,
that I know that are possible now, I could never have dreamt of in my normal mind when I was 15 years old, for example. They wouldn't have been rational at all. But now I understand them to be true because I have experienced them.
And let me ask you this, if you don't mind. Have Wendy or Sharon also had experiences like this that they've shared with you?
Yes, there's been different things at different levels. Obviously, a lot. So I've shared a lot of stuff with Wendy over the years, and she's been present for a lot of channeling and mediumship and stuff like that. So she's shared in that vibration. So she's very aware of that. And I know that Sharon's had some transformative experiences, things that have happened to her that have made her adjust her state of thought, her consciousness, you know. And I don't think, you know, those things happen for a purpose to move you to so that you can learn. But like I said to you before, we don't always find the answer, or that we don't always have the confidence or the self-esteem to share it with others. For myself, it just came to a point where I didn't have any choice, where I knew that it was the right thing to do, and I knew that why I was given certain experiences were for my benefit, but also for the benefit of others. And I lost interest in my own identity and my own reason for being, if you like,
yeah,
other than just following it and sharing it. So, yeah, we've shared all these kind of things over the years. You know, they're, you know, a lot of those are personal, and I won't go into them, but they're certainly very moving and meaningful, and I wouldn't like to speak necessarily about their experiences, because I think that would be unfair, but I know that they've had them, and I know that many other people that have been here have also had them, and some people have thought that they were ill because they had those experiences, and part of our job is to make people aware and to bring logic and love and understanding to those experiences, because they are very real, it just in a different way than you previously imagined. And that's difficult for people to understand, particularly if they jump into an experience or suddenly have an uplifting higher state of consciousness. It's very difficult to rationalize that and to bring it back and ground yourself and understand it. So yeah, that's all part of the work, and we've all had those and shared some of those experiences.
Oh, well, that was really the point of the question, is just to realize that you've had these all of you have had these experiences and that you share them. And a lot of times, sometimes when people are just one person will have an experience, and then it seems, in a way, through osmosis, other people will simultaneously and spontaneously start to have experiences as well. But you also made a very good point in stating that some people actually thought that they were ill. And this is something that has been brought up quite a bit lately, that because there's actually been, it's just written up and spoken about, warning us, as it were, that we could be going through these experiences and that we might perceive ourselves as being ill or what have you. And in fact, it's just a part of this quickening and the raising of our consciousness and our frequency. And so it's good to let people know about this so that they don't fall into a panic and instead actually allow themselves to flow with the experiences, because they're happening for a reason. And it's really raising us to a higher frequency and getting us closer to our true identity, which has got nothing to do with what was written on a piece of paper and all that malarkey. So I really thank you for sharing this, because these are very relevant points that you're making that people do need to know about. And again, maybe we should mention that the title of your book, I'm speaking with J.M. Harrison, author of We Are All One, and as a result of spiritually transformative and near-death experiences, come to really know this experience beyond it just being a really lovely cliche, which is definitely is not. And really want to thank you for sharing all of this with us, Jonathan. Is there anything coming up that you would like to share with our listeners, or any goals or dreams that you would like to share before we close for this transition?
Yeah, I'm actually writing a second book at the moment, because it just kind of felt the natural thing to do after writing the first one. And I'm looking now to share things in a more grounded and functional way, and to explain the process of evolution and conscious evolution and the way spirit has affected all life and permeates all life. So I'm really looking at trying to help be part of that shift that moves consciousness forward, that moves planetary consciousness forward, because many, many people are having these spiritually transformational experiences and yet aren't finding a way out or a reason for them happening. And I think we need to, find different routes out, or a route out that moves it forward and brings it back, and moves the evolution and the spiritual evolution of humanity forward. These are things that are really at the heart of my being. And when I can at the moment, working on that to provide a different awareness on how the aspect of the body and the mind, how the mind works, what the mind actually is. Because many people think the mind is the brain, but I don't believe that to be true. I believe the mind to be a field of energy that is utilized by the brain. And I believe that the spirit, or what we call spirit, is that cosmic field of intelligence that surrounds, permeates, and gives life to all things. And so I have a different way of explaining these things that I'm sure will be of great benefit to other people. And that's the work that I'm going more into at this point in time. And I'm beginning to understand that really that's the essence of the reason for me being here. And so that's a very fulfilling thing, and also a very difficult thing, because it's not necessarily what you expected to be doing. But sharing that information and sharing that understanding of how we can move forward as a race of beings, and taking the experiences on one-to-ones, groups, families, and moving that into a social aspect as well. That's not necessarily my sphere, but I'm aware there's people working on all these different areas, and it's a very exciting time to think that many, many people are cooperating together to work and bring forward a new holistic consciousness, which is what's going on. You know, so it's a very exciting time, and I'm just very pleased to be able to work in some way to help other people.
That is really tremendous. I'm so excited about this because it has been a big part of my work too. In fact, last week I was speaking with Dr. Mario Beauregard, who is the author of a book called The Spiritual Brain. And you know, there's been so much debate about consciousness, and I have been insisting that consciousness does not come from the brain, but rather through it. Again, the brain just being the receiver, like the radio or the television is. It's not the broadcaster. It is merely the receiver of the consciousness. So, oh, goodness me, what you're saying is very exciting to me. Now, do you have estimated time when this book will be released? Or you're just flowing with the writing of it right now?
When I get an opportunity, I'm working on it, and difficult to say, but it'll be a matter of months. I could work for several hours and write an incredible amount, as I did with the first book, and other times I maybe write 3 lines and no, it's not the time to write. So
yeah,
it's a slightly different way of working compared to the first book. But I'm understanding that, you know, I need to ground these things, ground these ideas that I know are true experiences at a higher form of consciousness, to enable them to benefit other people.
Mm.
Because, there's a mystic in all of us that would be quite happy to sit in a cave having beautiful spiritual experiences for the rest of its life. But that's not going to help everybody else.
Yes.
We need to share those experiences, those insights, those inspirational things, to help us move things forward. So, I'm just happy to be working on it. And as I'm working on it, again, I'm learning as things come through. As I move with frequency, I'm learning myself. So it's never a one-sided thing. It's that beautiful feeling of being connected with all things and moving into it and understanding when not to.
That's really lovely. Well, I'm excited about this, and you can be sure I'm going to be beaming lots of love and support your way in this project, because again, my belief is that then there can't be too much of this wonderful information getting out there. And in fact, I think it's interesting that so many of us, especially with so-called advanced medical technology or what have you, although I think a lot of it is just really to do with spirit, it certainly has been in my case bringing me back, that so many people are experiencing physical death and then being brought back and brought back with a special mission and then sharing all of this. And it's really very important, and it's wonderful how this is happening. I mean, there's a wealth of information just, you know, in the past few years. There's just been an avalanche of new information coming out, and I'm so excited because, for example, with me, I was kind of buried, as it were. I didn't have my coming out until you know, the beginning of the millennium in Nashville, Tennessee, when I was there, of all places.
Yeah.
And so this is really, really wonderful that more and more information is coming out, because, you know, there are a lot of people waking up and feeling very excited, and they're in touch with truth and with that love. But also, conversely, there are other people who are in a sheer panic right now. They're terrified. So somehow we need to reach them.
Those old ways are having to move over, Julia. That's all part of it, you know.
Sure.
Part of my work is explaining about Homo sapiens and Homo novus, the movement from a Homo sapiens being to a new man, a Homo novus, who has the ability to transcend the ordinary senses, what are called the meta-senses. That's what we're all moving towards. Moving toward not only being able to use the senses, but to use our higher senses, to use, you know, the clairvoyant, clairaudient abilities, to use that sensing, the gut feeling as a normal, everyday sense. That's what we're moving forward to. And of course, when you move forward into that, you move forward into a time where truth, telepathy, like you said before, those things will come again. Because there'll come a point where consciousness becomes so pure that the old ways of hiding things can no longer exist.
Yes.
So in that scenario, you will come to a point at some time where war does become obsolete.
Oh,
and that's the most beautiful thing that I can feel, you know, suffering, starvation, war, all these unnecessary things when we look at what we could all have if we shared it all, become obsolete.
Absolutely. And I think that if that weren't going to be the case, then none of us would be here doing this work that we're doing. And so, you know, for joy that we can continue doing this work and sharing the good news and letting people know, despite outward appearances, we really are moving back toward the light. And that's the whole point of this, and it's really wonderful. Well, I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this transmission of Toward the Light. I've been speaking with J.M. Harrison, author of the brilliant book We Are All One. And tell us the name of your retreat again.
It's Dubon, so it's dubon.org, www.dubon.org.
Okay, and then the website for We Are All One is written as We Are All One with dashes between it, so it's weareallone.net. And, of course, I've got hot links to both of your websites. Oh, do you have a third website? Or you do have a third website, a blog, correct?
Oh, yeah, I have a blog. Yeah, I do have a blog site for people that are interested in the kind of higher frequency stuff, non-duality and that kind of stuff. They may be interested in going to themysticway.blogspot.com. I've been writing stuff on there for a while and just stuff that I share with other people, just different elements of awareness that hopefully benefit other people. So that's something else I've been doing. But writing the new book is now the mainstay of my time.
Yes.
When I've got time available. So.
Well, that's wonderful. I thought you had had a blog, and I thought, blimey, we should let people know about that too, because you've just got so much beautiful wisdom to share. And of course, I've got a couple blogs as well. Well, Jonathan, it's been so lovely having you, and we'll have to keep in touch for sure, and see how things evolve with your retreat and all the work that you're doing. Definitely keep me posted on that, and I'll share it with people as we come along here. And thank you again so much for being with us for this transmission of Toward the Light. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale reminding you that it is only with the heart that one can see rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye. Please remember that only love prevails. Next week on Toward the Light, we will have near-death experience and a wonderful friend on Toward the Light. Anna Maria Hemingway, so you won't want to miss that. Please join us next week for another transmission of Toward the Light, Leading Back to the Source. This is Reverend Juliet Nightingale signing off for this week. Blessings and light to all of you. Cheers for now.
Where would $5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.